We are reading from the New Testament, Luke chapter 18, verses 1 to 8. Luke chapter 18, verses 1 to 8. And if you can bookmark Luke chapter 17, verses 22 up to the end of the chapter, because that will also provide a background for our sermon today. But the primary text that we have is found in Luke chapter 18, verses 1 to 8. I'm reading from the New International Version. Shall we all stand as we give reverence to the Word of God? Parables and Prayer. Now he was telling them, referring to our Lord Jesus Christ, a parable to show that at all times they ought to pray and not to lose heart, saying, in a certain city there was a judge who did not fear God and did not respect men. There was a widow in that city, and she kept coming to him, saying, give me legal protection from my opponent. For a while he was unwilling, but afterward he said to himself, even though I do not fear God nor respect man, yet because this widow bothers me, I will give her legal protection. Otherwise, by continually coming, she will wear me out. And the Lord said, hear what the unrighteous judge said. Now will not God bring about justice for his elect who cry to him day and night? And will he delay long over them? Verse 8 is very important. I tell you that he will bring about justice for them quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? Let me repeat that question again. When the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? Let us pray. Father, we thank you for your word that is prepared for us today. May we feast on your word. May we allow you to speak to us through the Holy Spirit who lives within us. And Lord, I pray that even as I preach your word, that you would give me a double portion of your anointing, that I will only be as your vessel, ready, willing to deliver your word to your people. And may your word find a lodging place in our hearts. May it not return to you void. Hear our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Time flies so fast, right? We are now in the month of October. And if you don't know it yet, today we are starting a new sermon series on spiritual disciplines, which we will conclude starting today, and we will conclude that series on the fourth Sunday of November, just before we begin our Advent services in connection with the Christmas season. So it's just fast, October, November, December. In our previous sermon series, we focus our attention on the last days, remember that? And even though this particular theme covers a lot of material, I believe that we were able to get a good sampling of the more common topics related to the last days as we heard sermons preach on the new covenant, the glory of the new covenant that we have in Jesus Christ. Pastor Elvin preached that. I preached about our home going or life after death. Lester preached about the kingdom of God. Pastor Sly Portillo preached about the rapture, and to cap the series, Pastor Elvin last Sunday preached about our heavenly dwelling, our heavenly home. I'm reminded of John chapter 14, right? Verses 1 to 3, when our Lord Jesus Christ gave this promise to his disciples, do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and take you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. So the sermon series that we have on the last days is behind us, and now that is behind us, we will shift gears, so to speak. And as I've already mentioned, starting this Sunday, we will introduce you to some of the spiritual disciplines. These are the things that we need to consider. Spiritual disciplines that every follower of Jesus Christ needs to practice. Again, just like a discipline, we have to do it regularly. These are the things that we need to embrace and practice as followers of Jesus Christ. And we will not actually just include everything there, but we will talk about prayer, which is today. We will talk about worship. We will talk about praise, how it is to praise God as a discipline. We will talk about quiet time. How many of you are still having your quiet times? You don't just sleep, but it's really a quiet time before the Lord. We'll talk about obedience. Pastor Butch will be here on November 15 to preach for us on obedience. And finally, we'll talk about fasting. I hope that when that sermon is preached on November 22nd, I believe, Pastor Elvin will do that, that we will be here. Otherwise, you will miss that, and hopefully you won't get offended when maybe Pastor Elvin will remind us that after that Sunday, there will be no more lechons, because we will fast. So again, some of the things that we'll talk about in this sermon series: prayer, worship, praise, quiet time, obedience, and fasting. I would like to tell you that I'm delighted to begin this new sermon series by preaching on the topic of prayer today. So will you please open your Bibles once again. Again, Bibles ready, to Luke chapter 18, verses 1 to 8. Luke chapter 18, verses 1 to 8. We will unpack this passage for our meditation today. But before we do that, I would like to say at the outset that if we read the Bible to know more about prayer, we would learn that the Bible contains several references to people praying, either in groups or individually. In fact, a careful study of this particular topic on prayer would reveal that both the Old and the New Testaments record more than 500 examples of prayer, and they also contain more than 400 additional passages or teachings on prayer. So it is clear from these nearly 1,000 references on prayer that we find in the Bible that prayer is very important. And if the Bible itself places a high value on prayer, then it should follow that we who consider the Bible as the primary guide for the practice of our Christian faith, then we should also embrace prayer as a spiritual discipline. In other words, prayer should be at the front and center of our spiritual life, because the truth of the matter is that prayer is the vehicle that ushers us into perpetual or continuous communion with our Heavenly Father, and prayer is the fuel that keeps the relationship we have with our Heavenly Father fresh, vibrant, and life-changing. You see, church, there are many things in this world that we can do without, and I tell you, we will survive, right? For example, some of us here can do without a car, right? Because here in Houston, we will survive without a car. We can take public transportation. We can do without a cell phone. How many of you here can do without a cell phone? Raise your hands. I think we will all die without our cell phones, right? We can do without Facebook. How many of you can do without Facebook? And other forms of social media. So, I would like to tell you that there are many things in this world that we can do without, and we can still survive, but if we don't pray, it's just like we have stopped breathing regularly. And as we all know, the moment we stop breathing, then that's a clear signal that either we are close to death or we are already dead. So church, we should not take prayer for granted, and especially now that we are living in these difficult times called the last days, our prayer life should become more and more intense. Because we are reminded by our Lord Jesus Christ Himself in the parable He told about the persistent widow that the best way to prepare for His second coming, which I believe deep in my heart is drawing near, the best way to prepare for the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ is not to build an underground bunker where we can store food and other necessities and more importantly hide when the days of trouble, but the best way to prepare for the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ is to pray. And not to grow weary of praying. Bunkers will do us no good. When the Lord Jesus Christ comes, even if your bunker is 20 feet deep, it's going to be complete destruction. So the best way to prepare for the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ is to pray and not to grow weary of praying. The parable of the persistent widow found in Luke chapter 18, verses 1 to 8, basically reminds us about the importance of prayer. But take note again that in this particular case, the practice of persistent prayer or praying without ceasing has a direct connection with the imminent return of our Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, if we would like to study Luke chapter 18, verses 1 to 8, in its proper context, we just don't take it as an isolated passage, but rather, we have to go back, remember, all the way to chapter 17. That's a chapter before that, where we read, beginning in verse 20, that Jesus Christ gave a discourse about the second coming in response to the question posed to Him by the Pharisees. And as we read, beginning in verses 22 and 24, we learn that as the Lord Jesus Christ was giving His discourse, He also included some warnings related to the second coming. And the first one has something to do with the tendency of people to look for earth-shattering signs that would accompany the second coming. So they would always expect that when Jesus Christ comes again, everything will be earth-shattering. Of course, that's true. But Jesus Christ reminded the Pharisees, you know what? You were looking for a Messiah, but what they had in mind actually was somebody who would free them from Roman authorities and would establish the throne of David. But Jesus Christ told them, you know what? You're expecting the coming of the Son of Man? I already came. And if you have received me into your heart, if you have considered me as your king, then my kingdom has come within your heart. Now, the second warning that Jesus gave had something to do with the posture people will take leading up to the second coming. In fact, in verses 26 to 30 of Luke chapter 17, Jesus compared the coming of the Son of Man to the flood in Noah's day, right? And to the destruction of Sodom by fire and brimstone. And He said that in the days before the second coming of Jesus Christ, most of the world will be engaged in business as usual. In other words, people will continue to live busy and ordinary lives. And not only that, in verses 31 to 37, He also said that they will continue to live just like Lot's wife, right? Who, in the hour of crisis, when Sodom was already burning because God rained fire and brimstone on that wicked city, she turned her gaze back to Sodom because she loved everything she had there. Church, I would like to say that these warnings Jesus gave to His disciples in Luke chapter 17 could well be the same warnings we will hear from Him today. Because just like in those days as followers of Jesus Christ, we also are in a tremendous battle which sadly sometimes most of us don't even know is going on. And if you ask me what this battle is all about, especially now that we find ourselves living in the last days, it is simply the battle to maintain a radical, heartfelt, and self-denying faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. Not only in the face of increasing persecution, not only in the face of sinful temptations, but also, take note of this, in the face of ordinary home life and business life, which can blunt all our sensitivity to God's eternal kingdom. You see, the danger we have to deal with as followers of Jesus Christ waiting for His second coming in this day and age is lukewarmness and the busyness of securing our lives into this world. It's as if we will stay here in this world forever. In other words, the danger we have to deal with is that our faith in Jesus Christ and our love for Him and for each other will be swallowed up by an easy come, easy go type of Christianity. I'm a Christian then, I'm saved then, that's it. Easy come, easy go type of Christianity, and by the sheer ordinariness of daily life. We wake up in the morning, we say a little prayer, we take a shower, that is if you still take a shower, we brush our teeth, we have breakfast, we go to work or to school, we go back home, we sit on the couch to watch TV, we check our emails or go to Facebook, we eat dinner, we take a bath, we brush our teeth, we watch TV again, we say a little prayer again, and finally we go to sleep. And this cycle is repeated day in and day out for years and years until we grow weary and old age begins to bear down on us. The ordinariness of life. That is why our Lord Jesus Christ was right on target when He asked the question in verse 8 of our text. That is in Luke chapter 18 now. What was His question? When the Son of Man comes, will He find faith on the earth? You see, this question is about being found with love and faith when Jesus Christ comes again. This question is about avoiding being Lot's wife. Remember? She was so engrossed with their possessions in Sodom that the Lord told her, you know what? Just flee. But she can't. She turned her gaze back to Sodom, and what happened to her? She became a pillar of salt. This question is about enduring up to the end. And how do you think can we do all this? How can we endure up to the end? How can we avoid being Lot's wife? Again, Jesus Christ gave us the answer in the parable of the persistent widow. And as we unpack this parable for our meditation today, the three important truths about prayer that Jesus wants us to understand. Ready for this? First truth about prayer that Jesus wants us to understand is found in verse 1. And here, our Lord Jesus Christ is reminding us that if we don't pray, we will faint. You know what the translation is? You want to know what the translation in Hiligaynon is? In my native tongue? Kung hindi kita magpangamuyo, malipong kita. Got that? How do you translate that in Tagalog? If you don't pray, you will faint. Kung hindi tayo fe, manalangin, hihimatayin tayo. Yeah. Kung hindi kita magpangamuyo, malipong kita. Now the word faint, if we don't pray, we will faint. Now the word faint describes a believer who loses heart and gets so discouraged that he or she wants to quit. I think many of us here really can recall an occasion when we have fainted physically, right? How many of you here can recall the time when you fainted physically? Can you raise your hand? No one? In my case, it was during a karate sparring session when someone just kicked me in the stomach and I fainted. That was for a brown belt promotion. And also when my then fiancé, now my wife, Cecil, administered an injection to treat my asthma and I almost fainted at the sight of the needle at Iloilo Mission Hospital. You know, to faint physically is one of the most helpless feelings we could ever experience, right? Because we feel like going, but we could not seem to do anything about it. So what again is the antidote to fainting? In our text, Jesus Christ says that it is none other than unceasing prayer. If you don't want to get discouraged, then you pray unceasingly. But they know that to pray without ceasing does not mean that we should constantly be repeating prayers. Amay namon, ngayara ka sa langit. And then you repeat that over and over again. Because in Matthew chapter 6, verses 5 to 15, Jesus Christ warned against that kind of prayer, repeated prayers, meaningless prayers. Rather, it means to make prayer and that's as natural to us as regular breathing. That's how we pray without ceasing. You see, unless we are sick, we really think about our breathing because we just do it, right? How many of you here woke up this morning and told yourself, you know what, I think I'll decide to stop breathing today? You'll be dead. I won't be able to see you here in this sanctuary. So the same should be true with prayer. It should be the natural habit of our lives, and let us never ever forget that prayer is much more than words of our lips. It is the desires and the longings of our hearts, and our hearts are constantly desiring Him. Our hearts are constantly longing for Him, even if we never speak a word. In Psalm chapter 42, verse 1, the psalmist says, as the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, my God. So to pray without ceasing means to have such holy desires in our hearts. It's coming from our hearts. In the will of God, that we are constantly in loving communion with our Father, our Abba, and petitioning Him for His blessing. Connecting with Him on a regular basis. So church, we have a choice to make today. Do we want to pray? Or do we want to faint? If you don't pray, you'll faint. You'll get discouraged. The second truth about prayer that Jesus wants us to understand is found in verses 2 to 5 of our text. And here He reminds us that as God's children, we have an open access into His presence, and we can come at any time to get the help that we need. Can we hear an amen to that? As God's children, we have an open access into His presence, and we can come at any time to get the help we need. You see, we are like this widow in the parable, right? Who comes to an unjust judge and pleads for help. She's being oppressed unjustly and wants him to use his authority to seek her relief. She's weak, she's poor, and she has no husband to speak on her behalf. So her only source of help is the judge. In the same way, when we feel weak, when we feel downtrodden, and we feel that no one seems to be helping us in a time of great need, then we can come to God in prayer. In the parable, this widow comes again and again until the judge gives her the help she needs just to get her off his back. Don't bother me anymore. But lest we get confused about the application of this part of the parable into our lives today, let us remember that the point here is not that if we wear out an unjust human judge, then we may stand a chance of wearing out God so that He helps us just to get us off His back. Because the truth of the matter is that unlike the human judge, our God takes delight in our prayers. Amen? In other words, our God is tickled. He loves it when we come to Him in prayer. In fact, we should know that when we pray, what happens? We already have in heaven our Lord Jesus Christ, who is our advocate and high priest and constantly represents us before the throne of God. Now, a little perspective from this story, and this is going to be very brief. In order for us to appreciate this truth, that we can come to God, just consider that the court system in those days made it so difficult for a widow to bring a case before a judge, even if that case demands immediate attention. You see, the courtroom then was not a nice building like most of our courtrooms here in America, but it was a tent. And the tent was moved from place to place as the judge covered his circuit. The judge, not the law, set the agenda. In other words, he's the law during that time. And he sat regally in the tent, surrounded by his assistants. Anybody could watch the proceedings from the outside, but only those who were approved and accepted could have their cases tried. This usually meant bribing one of the assistants so that he would call the judge's attention to the case. The widow in the story had three obstacles to overcome. First, being a woman, she had little standing before the law. And in the Palestinian society, women did not go to court. It's usually their husbands who would represent them in court. Second, since she was a widow, she had no husband to stand with her in court. Finally, she was poor and could not pay a bribe even if she wanted to. Again, what our Lord Jesus Christ would like us to know about prayer through this parable is that prayer levels the playing field, so to speak, as far as approaching God is concerned. And so it does not matter whether we are rich or poor, educated or uneducated, young or old, good-looking or not, tall or short, because the only criterion that can give us access to the throne of God is when we sincerely come to Him because we need His help. That's the only criterion. You don't have to look pretty in order for Him to hear you. Just come to Him because you recognize that you need His help. But there's one more thing about prayer that Jesus wants us to know, and it is this. The widow came to the court of law, right? But when we pray, we come to the court of grace. Did you hear that? The widow came to the court of law, but when we pray, we come to the court of grace. The widow pled out of her poverty, but when we pray, we have all of God's riches available to meet our every need. The Apostle Paul wrote these words in Philippians chapter 4, verse 19, and my God will supply all my needs according to His riches in glory in Christ Jesus. So church, we have a choice to make again today. Either we come to God in prayer, or we do not pray at all. Two choices. Remember that we fail to pray, our condition spiritually will be just like that of the poor widow. We will remain poor in spirit. We will miss out on the blessings that God already has in store for us. And we will also miss the opportunity to experience what God can truly do when we cry out to Him for help. Just pray. Cry out to Him for help and see what God can do for you. The third and final truth about prayer that Jesus wants us to understand in this parable is found in verses 6 to 8. And here he reminds us again that God is not like the judge in the parable who did not know the widow and had no interest in her, but He is a loving God. Amen? Those of you who have a loving God, raise your hands. Raise your hands. He is a loving God who is attentive to every cry, generous in His gifts, concerned about our needs, and ready to answer when we call. Did you hear that? He's ready to answer when we call. He's not irritated. How many of you sometimes are irritated when people come to you with the same requests? Husbands, are you irritated when your spouses just come to you with the same requests over and over again? Okay. Stop it. I'll do it. Tama na. I remember my mom, my dad telling me the secret to his long life. Because we would always suspect that he's hard of hearing. And one day Cecil came to him and said, you know what, Daddy, we just like to confirm if you're really hard on hearing because we heard that you can't hear Mommy talk all the time. And then my dad just whispered to my wife, Cecil, and she said, You know what? Kabati ako. Pero nagapabungal-bungal lang. I can hear, but I just pretend that I'm deaf. Our God is not irritated when we let our requests known to Him again and again. And He always answers our prayers. Do you know that? For His glory and for our good. His answer could be yes. It could be no. Or it could be wait. And church, please remember that no and wait are still answers from Him. Panginoon, di mo naman ako mahal. Bakit, why did you not answer my prayer? I think you don't love me. But remember that no and wait are still answers from Him. We may not like taking no or wait for an answer, but let us trust that our loving Heavenly Father knows what's best for us. And even though sometimes we get impatient when God delays His answers to prayer, let us also remember that God's delays are not the delays of inactivity, but of preparation. In other words, God is simply preparing us or making us ready to receive a greater revelation of Himself when He finally answers our prayers. That's why He says, hulat-hulat lang anay. Just wait a little bit because I'm making you ready. Church, I say this without any hesitation at all, that our God always answers prayers. Can you turn to the person sitting next to you and tell him or her, God always answers prayers. God always answers prayers. Always. And you know what happens the moment we send Him a request? Here's the qualifier, that is in His will. Well, you know what happens when we send Him a request? The moment that we do that, we request that is in His will. You know what happens? Even if God is silent sometimes, He begins to work. Right there and then. The moment that we receive that request from Him, He begins to work. We may not see it now. But one day the answer will come. Because we hold on to the assurance found in Romans chapter 8, verse 28, that He works in all things at all times, causing all things to work together to accomplish His purposes. So we see here that prayer and faith, right, go together. You pray, and by faith you expect God to answer your prayers. And if you go back to the question Jesus asked in verse 8 of our text, we can also say that prayer and faith, especially in the last days, stand and fall together. If we lose heart and drift away from prayer, then our Lord Jesus Christ will not find us in faith when it comes again. Faith is the furnace in our lives. Its fuel is the grace of God. And the shovel that feeds the burden is none other than prayer. If we lose heart and lay down the shovel, the fire of faith will go out and we will grow cold and hard. And when Jesus Christ finally comes again in glory, He will spew us out of His mouth. Because as Matthew chapter 24 verse 13 has said, only those who endure to the end will be saved. So church, it is crucial that we place a high value of prayer on prayer, especially now that we find ourselves living in the last days. Because again, the best way to prepare for the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ is to persevere in prayer. If we don't persevere in prayer, our faith becomes lukewarm. And lukewarm faith will not enable us to endure up to the end. There's a word for that in Ilonggo, palay-palay. Na pagtuo, lukewarm faith. And if we don't persevere in prayer, we are actually disobeying our Lord Jesus Christ. If you don't pray, that's disobedience. Disobeying Him, who clearly commanded us in Luke chapter 18, verse 1, to pray and not to lose heart. So in light of this very serious command given to us, I would like to close this message very briefly. Just some thoughts in my mind. Some pictures of what I hope prayer would look like for us here at First Philippine Baptist Church. as we eagerly wait for the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Ready for this? First, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, verse 6, when we pray, go to your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. So I hope that many of us here will daily find a secluded place and time for personal communion with God, confessing our sins, thanking God for His blessings, praising Him for His perfections, asking Him for help, interceding earnestly for others. Every day in a solitary place and time, just like what we saw in the movie. Remember that? In the war room? Solitary place. Secluded place. Where we can commune with God in prayer. Second, the Apostle Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7, husbands, live with their wives in an understanding way, showing honor to the woman as the weaker vessel, since they are heirs with you of the grace of life, so that your prayers may not be hindered. So I hope that our married couples here will come to their knees together. Not with the children at meals or for family devotions, but just the two of them. When was the last time you prayed with your husband? Just the two of you? Praying out loud for each other, not throwing criticisms at each other, but praying out loud for each other, for their marriage, for their children, and for the many other concerns that are affecting their relationship. Husbands and wives praying together. Third, and since the Apostle Paul said in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4, fathers, bring up your children in the discipline and instruction of the Lord, I hope that we will have homes where every day, not just at mealtime, but in the morning or in the evening or both, the children are gathered and the Word of God is read and everyone prays together. Remember, the family that prays together stays together. Fourth, since James, the brother of Jesus, said in James chapter 5, verse 16, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. I hope that we will have small groups here in our church and many deep friendships here in our church where people are praying for each other, praying for healing, for reconciliation, for loved ones, for seemingly persistent sin, for endurance of faith, and where friends are uniting in prayer for a cause together and where the mission of the church is carried in prayer. Fifth, and since the 12 apostles said in Acts chapter 6, verse 4, but we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word, I hope that we will create an atmosphere where all servant leaders meetings and all committee meetings and all planning meetings do not just hurry into human discussion with an opening prayer, but linger with the Lord in a season of prayer and soak that meeting in prayer and then return to prayer so that the way the work of the meetings is done is not talk. It is prayer. Sixth, since the essence of worship is vertical communion with God, I hope that our worship services, in our worship services, everyone is radically, deeply, joyfully, authentically engaged with God in prayer all through the entire service. Praying as we come, praying as we sing, praying as we listen to the proclamation of God's word, and praying as we go. Worship is nothing if it is not the engagement of the heart and mind in prayer to God. Nothing. Confessing, thanking, praising, and pleading. I hope that those who come to our worship services would not be anxious about anything. But in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, they will let the requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard their hearts and minds in Jesus Christ. Finally, nice sounding word, right? Finally. It is clear that the Bible expects us to pray out loud together as a church and not just in solitude. For example, Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verses 16 and 17, if you give thanks with your spirit, how can anyone in the position of an outsider say amen to your thanksgiving when he does not know what you're saying? For you may be giving thanks well enough, but the other person is not being built up. Therefore, I hope that during our prayer meetings on Wednesday nights, many people will attend so that they can build up each other in prayer and speak to God together and not in isolation. I hope that we will have those Wednesday nights where not just a handful of people but hundreds are praying together. Someone has said, if you want to see a visible church, come to church on Sunday. If you want to see an invisible church, attend the prayer meetings because the attendance just drastically goes down. But not only that, I hope that First Philippine Baptist Church will truly become a house of prayer for all the peoples. Church, did you see that sign? Did you notice that sign that we have on the front entrance of our sanctuary? That's what it's all about. And we also have a prayer room. Do you know that? How many of you know that we have a prayer room? Which we can utilize as a sacred space where we can commune with God through prayer. It's not a place where we can sleep. Although we can pretend that we are just resting in the Lord while we are there. And it is also not a place where we can play hide and seek. Children, no hide and seek in the prayer room. It is solely intended for prayer. But aside from the prayer room, I hope this entire building where believers assemble will become a staging point for prayer that will attract people from all walks of life and even from different nations and tribes and tongues. And this place will shine brightly so that lost and wearied souls in search of a Savior will find Jesus Christ here because we are praying. Again, our Lord Jesus Christ asks this question. When the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? Next slide, please, Manang Ani. That's the question. When the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? Will he find us praying? My hope is that here at First Philippine Baptist Church, he will. And when we finally see him face to face, someday, I also hope that we will hear him saying to all of us, right? Well done, good and faithful servants. Enter now into the joy of your master. I'd like to close this message very briefly. I know many of you are seated with your spouses. Can you just take time in the silence of this moment to pray together? And if you have a friend that the Lord is just leading you to pray for right now, you may be seated apart from him or from her. Go to that friend and let's all together come to the Lord in prayer. Let's do that. You may stand, you may sit, you may kneel, you may lie prostrate before him. Any posture God will take, as long as the heart is set for prayer.